because this journey is better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
A very good morning to you on this glorious Monday morning, 1st of April. I'm Jane Dutton. It's good to have you with me. We're going to be talking about food in just a minute, and then we're going to be talking about a woman in a man's world. When load shedding became a problem, this 28-year-old went out and found a solution. So hopefully those are the type of solutions that we can also absorb without paying too much money, because I think that's what's been happening at the moment, isn't it? You panic, and you have to find solutions, and most of them are too expensive because you are held hostage. But right now we're going to indulge in something wonderful with Genghis San, a chef who's in the studio with me. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Jane.
Happy Easter. Have you been celebrating?
Yes, all the time. Happy Easter to you guys too.
And how have you been celebrating?
Well, obviously, we're quite active at work, and we most of the time at work. And Easter's all about, obviously, being Christian. We obviously go to church a lot. And being in the industry as being a chef, I've obviously tend to make my family at work. So I tend to spend a lot of time with them and spend my Easter with them.
Mm. And you are at Hotel Sky, the Eclipse restaurant.
I'm at Hotel Sky Sandton. I run the whole hotel's restaurants, all of the restaurants. We have 4 outlets.
So tell us, over a weekend like this, I mean, this must be a bonanza, obviously, for the hotel and for the restaurants. People like to eat out. People don't necessarily want to stay at home and cook. What was the most popular dish this weekend?
You know, I would say, obviously, pickled fish goes all the time. Especially, this is my first Easter at Hotel Sky Sandton. And most hotels I've been at, pickled fish never ran that fast. And we actually went through about 30 kilos of fish already.
Wow.
I'm actually keeping it on throughout the year because I think it's just a hit for our guests and they're actually enjoying it. So that has been the biggest hit.
And how do you serve that?
Serve it cold. So we pickle it, obviously, for 3 days and then we start serving it cold on a platter. We serve it on breakfast.
Lovely.
And it's been, yeah, it's really been a great hit.
Mm. And I suppose that's the wonderful thing, or the exciting thing about being a chef, or the challenging aspect to it, is finding something that you might not necessarily think is going to be a hit, and it is. And that's something you'll keep on the
Definitely.
Menu.
You know, I think it's all about pleasing the guest, you know, when you actually see that people are satisfied from what you've created. You know, like, we won Best Award Hotel Restaurant for Eclipse Restaurant at Hotel Sky in March. And we were busy running operations. When they called us for the award, I wasn't even in the restaurant. And to come back up to your restaurant to actually see that your work has gotten you that far, it's amazing, you know. And, and that you really love for that. You get goosebumps when a guest compliments me as a chef or me and my team. It's the best feeling ever. That's what keeps me going to work the next day. That makes me want to create something different. And like I've done, it was about 2 weeks ago, I did an Indian wedding, and it was all vegetarian and all Indian food. Mm. And, you know, you get nervous. I'm not Indian, but I know how to cook some of the foods. Mm. And the bride and groom came and said it was the best food that they ever had.
Oh, wow.
It was better than the taste then. It was like, I was thrilled. He couldn't wait to see me in the morning. So he's going to come for the rest of the month to try each dish again. He wants to have them. I need to prepare them for him. And that's what keeps us going, you know.
Incredible. And I suppose that, you know, for you, feedback then is the ultimate, right? And I know so many people feel that they shouldn't, or they feel frightened to give any sort of feedback, good or bad. But I should imagine you thrive on that, the good stuff, and you learn from the bad stuff.
Definitely. And, you know, the problem that we do have is that you never get all the good stuff. Mm. But the bad stuff comes through.
Yes,
but we definitely learn how to take it in and learn from it and move on to it, or try and fix it immediately. And that's why I always tell, when we have long-staying guests, and if they feel that they're getting, you know, anywhere, if you stay anywhere for too long, you can get a little bit tired of maybe the type of cooking that's happening or the menu. Call us. We are creatives. We come outside. As long as I have a full fridge of veggies and different types of proteins, I can come up with something else for you. Okay. And most of the time I do get guests like that. We do impress them and they are happy. Mm.
And you'll probably handle it a lot better. Years ago when I was in Doha, several of us sent our duck back, and we were told that the chef told us that we had unsophisticated palates.
Look, everybody has their own taste, obviously. You know, nobody wants to
their
eat
own
everything.
Style.
Yeah, not everybody wants to still eat it alive.
No. All right, so on a day like today, a lot of people have been either eating out or they've been cooking for the family. Excuse me, whether you celebrate Easter or not, because a lot of people have had this time off. What would you recommend today? What would be the perfect menu for you?
A remedy for the hangover. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So for me, my favorite is obviously we've come from a feast of feasting, and it's all about the today is about the Easter eggs and the hunting and that type of familyness bringing together. So any meal that brings a family together that we can put on the table and eat together, let it be like for breakfast. If we're going to share a nice table family buffet, I love that style of cooking. Because then, I don't know, when you eat with somebody, and even if you share in the same plate, sometimes the food just goes down better and you eat a little more. It's not good for
totally
the belly.
I agree with you.
But it just goes down a little bit better. And I think that's the whole type of style for Sunday. Easter Monday is what I'll go for. Mm. We do a lot in our family. We'd always come together and have a picnic. You know, go out because the weather's still a little bit warm. You normally have a nice day and a lot of your cold meats and salads and fresh breads. Mm. For breakfast on Easter Monday, I'd love taking the hot cross buns that I left and turning them into French toast with a little bit of whipped cream and some honey. Good to go.
Oh, you know, I was offered a hot cross bun yesterday morning, actually, and I went, no, thinking, you know, I'm going to impose a bit of discipline. And then it was put in the toaster.
Mm.
And I was told, you know, just have a bite. I mean, there's actually nothing nicer than a hot cross bun. Even if you just put butter on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, what is it? The raisins, the sugar, the...
Spicy. It's different. You know, it's almost like a cakey bread. You know, it has some flavor to it.
So is the trick on a day like today taking the leftovers and then refreshing them if you've got the creative genes?
Definitely
there.
Depending on what you've made the day before. So if you had nice, lots of people would have nice roasts yesterday.
Mm.
And taking those roasts and making gourmet sandwiches from them. You know, adding some avocados and some fresh greens to it and just having something lighter instead of having that whole big feast and making it family. Eating, like I remember my dad was a chef as well. Mm. And what he'd do was he'd take everything out and we'd sit around the table and he'd buy the bread. And everybody would have to make their own sandwich, but we'd share the sandwich. So everybody had to take a bite.
What a fantastic idea.
And as it went around, we would like, who takes the bigger bite? Like that was dad's thing.
And feedback as well, I should imagine.
We'd all stuff our mouths to try and not give the next one the sandwich. And then the next one makes a bigger sandwich. And we'd use that from the roast that we made the day before. But yet it tasted totally different because he'd add some other toppings to it, pickles and fresh greens. And that's definitely something that we normally do when you are still alive.
So how did you get into cooking? I mean, obviously your dad was a chef, so I should imagine that.
I never thought I was going to be a chef, honestly, Jane. Like,
why?
My dad's a chef, my family chefs, we married chefs, I never thought it. I used to go to church house of what, 9 people in the house probably.
Yeah.
And I used to go to church on Sundays and the only one walking to church. And when I came home, I used to love cleaning the kitchen and cooking and still didn't realize that that was me.
Yes.
Until I tried different things. So I tried mechanical engineering, logistics, and I was in the kitchen for a bit and I was like, no, left the kitchen, try that. And I was like, no, kitchen is for me. It's and my parents never had money for me to go and study. I then entered some competitions. I won a competition through, I had to do a cook-off and all that, and I won a bursary with Capsicum Culinary School. They were still in Sunnyland at that stage, and I went to go study in 2010. And since then, even before I studied, I knew that this is where I'm going. And yeah, this year I marked 10 years being executive chef. I became executive chef at 24, was my first role.
Gosh, that is young, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. But I guess it was.
It's not all about cooking, is it? I mean, it's also the management of the whole process.
Working with people, working with it's. But I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. Like everybody asks me, "What's your next step? What do you become?" I'm like, I don't want to move from the kitchen.
Do they really ask what you're going to become?
That's the place that I don't want
to move.
Yeah, you know, you get other chefs. Other chefs want to become the GM of the hotel one day, or they're going to move into F&B or operations. That's not me. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy the aspects of my job. I love being creative. I love speaking food. I love being food. And then I don't see myself turning back. And I think why I accomplished it so early, it was because of my dad. My dad was there to grow our palates. You know, when you drink wine and the more you drink it, the better it grows. He fed us all different types of food and it grew fast. When I went, I remember going to college, me and the lecturer had a fight about Asian food.
Yes.
And I was like, no, that's not how you make dumplings. He's like, okay, you do your way. The class must follow my instructions.
Yes.
And afterwards he came to me and said, chef, you're actually right. I said, yes, I make this at home, you know.
Yes.
So there's some things that I did know and I think that's a great part of my success as well.
But there's so many layers to cooking. I mean, for example, yesterday I went to lunch at a friend's house and the entire family, they're all foodies. They all cook. It's extraordinary. And they're into the, is it the sous vide of the meat, where you put it, you vacuum pack it and then cook it on a low heat. It was extraordinary.
Like
it was
soft.
So soft. And you can take any meat and make it soft. But I suddenly realized there's so many layers that you can add to your cooking. Instead of just more slapping it on the braai, you can sous vide it, you can steam it, smoke it, you know, that's what makes food so exciting.
Yeah. And playing with different flavors, obviously, because you can sous vide that with mint inside, you can sous vide it with coffee inside. I did a coffee menu once for Nespresso. And first I was like, okay, everything coffee infused for breakfast. I was like, okay, let me play with it. And I had coffee shakshuka. I had coffee-infused filled croissants. I had from savory to sweet. You know, you think that coffee would only go sweet, and it actually worked out perfectly and tasted nice. I made coffee biltong. Amazing. Amazing.
Okay, listen, next time you have a coffee day, I'm coming, okay?
Please visit us. You know, I was thinking of bringing some snacks, and I was like, but you guys are 5 minutes away from us. You must come and visit us.
No, well, next time you can bring snacks. What is your favorite food to cook? I mean, what are you thinking going into this year? Is there a new trend that you are going to absorb? How will that impact your cooking?
There's definitely some jellies I want to play with. There's these new crystal jellies I've seen on TikTok. TikTok inspires me a little bit. But I enjoy, there's no favorite food. It's what I feel for and what I feel like trying. So on my mind, I feel, okay, for instance, if it's pasta, let me try something different with pasta. Let me turn it into a different type of dish. Let me deep fry it. Let me add different cheeses. Let me add different minces. So there's no favorite technique or style of me cooking. And lots of people say that's funny because then you don't have direction. That's like, I enjoy food. So whatever I'm feeling for or whatever I want to do, I do it. And then also if clients come to me and they say, you know what, chef, we need something out of the box. I love those clients. I was like, okay, so you're not scared of flavor, you're not scared of... Then I go wild. Then I...
Surprise me.
You know, turn things upside down, let's make things smoke, let's do... So there is one dish actually I was thinking a lot of that's inspired me for winter is samp. I want to do... Take samp and use it a lot like risotto. I have done it before, but I really want to go back into playing with basically different types of risotto, but made with samp.
Well, I've recently got into samp and I enjoy it. So I'm going to come and find you, Ganga San, at the Hotel Sky Santon, the Eclipse Restaurant, and many more. Thank you very much for coming
Thank you so much for having us.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.